Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
It's so good to be with you. It's so good to be up here. It's just an honor always. But actually, you know what? Pray with me right now. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything you do. Oh, the time that your presence during the music and our opportunities to worship you through our giving, Lord, and just to be together as a family of God, Lord. And if anybody is discovering that or learning that, would you just make it known in their heart that they are loved by you and that you desire for them to be first place in your family, in your heart. And we just rejoice in that. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share your word today. Use me, bless your servant, that I might just be able to deliver your word clearly and under your power. Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. So we have been learning about the different things that the Holy Spirit, that the Lord would love to do in your life. And I was excited when I heard about the topic when Matt presented that to me, because I'm all about the Holy Spirit, all about the Spirit of the Lord. Kind of like a little side thing. I'll connect this. Went to dinner the other night. How many of you like going out to eat? I had the blessing of being able to go out with my wife and one of my boys. We went out to a place down the street, Firestone. Went out to Firestone and had just a yummy dinner, just a good dinner. But you know what made it extra special? And I think you guys can relate to this, is we had a good server. Wow. Oh, man. That just like makes the dinner really flow and really happen, is when you have a great server. And we even talked about it when we were at the table. I said, oh, she's a great waitress. She's got a smile, and she seemed eager, and she was peppy, but not too much, because, you know, there can be too much. You know, it's like, yeah, when they like make you scoot over and they sit down next to you. It's like, okay, that's a little too much. Okay, all right, get back in the kitchen. And it's like, but she would just write, and it's just kind of like it brightened our evening, and it was just good. And we barely had to ask, and things were coming out, just right on time. And I was like, you know, that's just great. It's wonderful when you have great service. But isn't it the complete opposite when your server is just like, yuck? You know, they're grumpy. It's like, you know, you ask them something, they're like, what? And they're like, we might have some, or we don't have any more of that. Or it's like, and there's like, and then it just makes your food taste worse. And it's just like, you just want to get out of there, you know, and then you're going, I don't know about a tip here. And, you know, it's like, you get all those thoughts in your head. It's just like, you know, it's awful when service is bad. See, I don't know if I could really wait on tables. I did like once for like an hour when I was back in high school and I was working at the local university, and then the boss came over and says, hey, you need to wait tables because we're short a person. And I was like, what? And I went, luckily it was a lot of seniors there that were just kind and gentle, and they were gentle on me and stuff like that. But when I see what goes on in a regular serving environment, I was like, I don't think I could handle that. This is just not me. And I think a lot of us are like that. We just serving like that, especially serving under pressure or just going outside of ourselves to give to another person, it's challenging. Yet the thing is that the Bible tells us that really the quintessential mark or the watermark of being a Christian is to be a person of service. So that's like right away, it's like, ooh, okay. That's like already kind of feeling kind of like there's some tension there. I feel like I'm already feeling stretched. A Christian, remember that word? A Christian, their heart should be that of a servant. Just what did Jesus say, though? What did Jesus say? Let's start there. Matthew 20:28, like right in the middle of this verse. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Boom, right there. Red letters. Next time we'll do the red letters so we'll know. That's Jesus talking. He says, of himself, of all individuals, of all beings, the Lord of all did not come down, did not come into the earth to be served, but to be a servant. Now, you see, my natural response, if I were there, if I was one of the blessed generation that was there when Jesus was here in the flesh, I would be like, what do you want? What do you want? Even I would be compelled to serve. But Jesus said, you know, just because of who he is, when you come to the realization, like, he's the Lord. He's our Jesus. You just want to serve. But Jesus said, no, even with who I am, the Lord Almighty, come down in flesh, even I did not, most especially, I did not come to be served, but to serve. And then Jesus gives us the full spectrum of it. He says, to the extent that I would actually give up myself and trade my life for others. Now that is just like, that's the fullest extent and the fullest and the widest understanding of giving that I can even comprehend. To take all that you are and to give it to someone else. And Jesus is saying, I'm just going to take all that I am and give it away. You know, sometimes I just have a trouble just giving a dollar. You know what it feels like. Hey, excuse me, do you have like some cash? And I'm going to admit, my debit card saves me lots of times from that. It's like, oh, you know, I just got plastic. You know, I was like, cash. No, I don't have cash anymore. So I'm like, you know, and as I think about that, I go, that's just a shame. Rick, hiding behind your debit card like that. That is just, I got called on that once. Talk about that a little bit. I got called on that. I remember someone, and I could tell it was a family, you know, and, you know, if they were trying to scam me, you know, so be it. But I believe it was on, there was a family and the mom and the little kids that were over there, and they said, do you have anything? And I just hid behind my debit card, and I said, you know what? I don't have cash. I'm sorry. Went in, came out, got in the car, and boom, God just smacked me upside the head. He goes, oh yeah, you got a debit card? Well, there's an ATM right there. And you go get yourself over there right now. And I was like, yes, sir. And I was like, and he goes, don't just draw the smallest denomination. So I went over there and I pulled some out and I said, you know what? I'm sorry. Here, you know, this, the Lord just spoke to me and said that you're supposed to have this. And God said, there, you better learn your lesson. But you know what? Serving and giving of yourself, that's hard. And then here comes Jesus saying that he's going to give it all up, telling his disciples, I'm giving it all up. And the implications are, if he's our master and disciples are listening, the implications are that we're supposed to be the same. But how can we do that? How can we pull off having true servants' hearts? We're enabled to give of ourselves. And not grudgingly, you know how we love to, and rightfully so, when we preface our giving time and our opportunity to give, you know, give with joyful and grateful hearts, because that's what the scripture says. But so many times it's like, oh, pulling our teeth, you know, it's like, ah, oh, do I have to? How do we do that? One thing that's useful for me in this statement, my Jesus, is to look at, when did he say this? Maybe that will help me. Maybe that'll help me find some understanding. And when I looked at the passage, I go, man, that is a crazy passage. If we look at Matthew chapter 20, actually, Matthew chapter 20, starting at the beginning of this incident, it's Matthew 20:20. And let me preface this a little bit, and you're probably already looking up there. Guess what happens here is Jesus, just a couple of breaths before this, had told a parable. He told a parable, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, but he had spoken a parable about the workers in the vineyard and that how the owner of the vineyard hired workers, and he hired them at all different times of the day. Then at the end, he paid everybody the same. And some people were like, you know, what up with that? I've been here all day, and this guy comes in the last half hour, and he gets the same pay as me. And basically, the master's bottom line was like, hey, I own all of this. Be grateful that you can work in this field. And if it's my desire to bless those at the end with much, the same as those working all day, then that's my prerogative. And I want to give. And I want to bless. And Jesus had just spoken that parable. And then Jesus spoke about the fact that his end was coming, was near, and that he would be one day establishing his kingdom on the earth. And so disciples hearing that and not necessarily getting all of what that meant, heard that. And then this passage takes place, which I thought is like mind-boggling. I was like, no way. This actually happened in the Bible? And it reads this way. If you read it with me, it says, then, after all that, then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons. I call this the John, James, and Mom event. Because basically it turns out to be John, James, and their mom, Salome, come to Jesus, and she asks this of Jesus. Coming up to him with her sons, come on, boys. Kneeling before him, she asks him something. The next verse says, and he said to her, what do you want? And she said to him, say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom. I was like, when I first read that, I was like, no, she did it. That Salome, man. Mark has it that it was actually John and James just then too, but Matthew helps us understand, oh, mom was there too. She was like, no, don't be afraid. Just go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's ask him. Just the nerve. I would think, what? That they would sit on thrones to your right and to your left. And once again, why were they thinking that way? Because Jesus just said, in a little while, I am going to establish my kingdom. And in ancient times, it's like, whoa, kingdom, king, throne, positions of achievement and power, right and left. Sons, let's go get them right now. Thrown to the right, thrown to the left. That's you, that's you. Mama wants this for my boys. Let's go get it. And she actually went and knelt down in front of the Lord and said, Master, if, you know, Johnny over here, he said, you know, I know you love him because he tells me all the time he's the one that you love. And then, and Jimmy over here, if they could be the ones, if they could be the ones to sit at your right and left. So John, James, and their mom approach Jesus. And through that, and at the end of that, if we keep reading, we find out that we're not the only ones astonished by what they did. And he said to her, what do you want? And she said, say that these two sons of mine are to sit one at your right hand and one at your left. And next it says here in 22, and Jesus answered, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink? Meaning his suffering and his taking the cross. And they said, we are. And Jesus said, oh, well, let me tell you this. You will drink my cup. But to sit at my right hand and my left are not mine to grant. But it is for those whom it has been prepared for by my Father. So Jesus said, you know what? Let me take a little look into the future. And he goes, you know what? You will suffer for the kingdom. You will endure hardship. But those places, that's not my call. I submit all of that to the Father. He will decide those positions in the kingdom. And then it goes on. Verse 24 says this. And then remember, there's 12 disciples. There's only two talking to Jesus right now. And then when the 10 heard it, they were indignant. Just like, they were like, what? Oh my God, they went and got their mom. They got their mom. They were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him. So he said, come on guys, come get over here. Now stop throwing rocks. Okay, so he says, he called them to, he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And they're great ones, meaning the people in high position and power, most especially they're ruled by Rome right now. And they're great ones exercise authority over them and going on. And it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. even as the Son of Man, referring to himself, came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And there you have it. That's where that comes from. So it's after all this exchange and all this crazy mom and John thing that Jesus issues this. But what is he saying in all of that? What is Jesus saying as he speaks that I did not come to be served, even though I am the king of all, but I came to give it all, even make my life a ransom for those who are in captivity? What does that mean to us? Well, what was Jesus intending for it to mean to the disciples? And it's not only there. In other places, just a little bit up further, when Jesus did tell the parable in verse 16, he says, even then, the first shall be last. And then in the book of John, Jesus, when he does an incredible demonstration of his love, John says, when he washes his disciples' feet, he says, no servant's greater than his master. So all over the place, Jesus says, it is indicating that the heart of the kingdom of God is to serve. And there you have it. That's actually what Jesus is illustrating and presenting. That's what he meant when he said, you know what? You guys get this world. He says, look, John, James, your mom, I understand where you're coming from. That's the way this world operates. When you hear of something being established, when you hear of positions and power and authority, our first response is to respond of our natural selves. And our natural selves would look to say, oh, what can I get out of this? Oh, where am I going to be in this whole scenario? And that's what James and John and their mom said. Oh, Jesus is going to set up his kingdom. Well, the mode of operation here in the world is to make sure that you're in a good position, that you're in a good place. So the two boys and mom said, you know what? Let's go, mom. Can you help us out? She said, oh, yeah, I got this. Jesus is actually my nephew removed. Salome is actually related to Jesus. And she says, we'll work this. It's family. We got it. And Jesus says, and what he's implying is that, you know what? That's the way it is done here in the world. And we know that too. That's the way it is done here in the world. But Jesus continues on and says, but not so with you. My kingdom doesn't operate that way. He says, in this worldly world, this world of flesh, you look to position yourself at the front of the line. You look to position yourself next to the host. You look to position yourself close to power. He says, and that would make sense. It makes sense in this world. But the kingdom that I'm bringing, the kingdom that I'm a part of, the kingdom of God is not of this world. Let me tell you how to get ready and how to position yourself. Yeah. See, Jesus is on. He says, I want to help you understand. Let me help you understand how to position yourself in God's kingdom. Don't go to the front. Go to the back of the line. Don't look to get, look to give. Because that's how it works in my kingdom. I did not come to take away from this world. I came to give it all to this world. Because that's the way my Father's kingdom is set up. And you are scheduled to be a part of that kingdom. So I want you to know just how it operates. Just what you need to do. So there you have it. We are called to be servants. So then what we do, if we're gonna serve, we all run to the nicest or the cutest person in the room and ask him, what can I do for you? Right? Why not? If we're gonna serve, why not make it easy? Why not serve someone that, you know, that still will, you know, it'll kind of like, you know, there's a little reciprocation there. There's something that's gonna happen that's good. When I heard that the kids were up at camp, it reminded me of a service memory. Now, as I tell this story, remember, this is not our camp that our kids are going to now. This was camp like 40 years ago. Okay, a long, long time ago. So I think I was only in like sophomore in high school or something like that. And the word got back to me that there was someone there that liked me. It wasn't Risa. It's only high school, come on. Even though I did meet her in senior year. So anyway, but it wasn't Risa. And we'll call this gal Janet. And so then Janet, after I found out that famous said, oh, guess what? Janet, she likes you. And I was like, really? Sure enough, lunch came. There was a salad bar. And even before I got there, Janet had already made my salad. And actually goes, oh, you don't need to stand in line. I was like, oh. She goes, I made you. I was like, oh, okay. Sat down. And then she goes, what would you like on your hamburger? And I was like, whoa. See, when it comes to serving, we like to serve the ones we like. That's okay. But last time I checked, in this world, wasn't filled with lots of people that I just automatically liked. No, let's be honest, right? Not everybody in here goes, oh, I like you and I like you and everything. It's 'cause some folks, honestly, were like, Okay, let me get back to you on that one. But we're called to serve, to even love. How do I do that? How can I understand and how can I learn and how can I grow to the place where I can actually serve all like Jesus? Because I'm so glad Jesus did not take the cross and go, okay, everybody I like up here, I'm going to the cross for you. You others, you got to wait and see. I'll figure that one out. No, Jesus said, I came to give my life as a ransom for all. And that's just an incredible and a mind-boggling thing. Because I know for a fact, even in my life, I wasn't very likable, even when it came to Jesus. And to think that he still loved me, that he still served me by giving his life. And how can I walk like that? How can I truly be that way, where it's not just I'm calling myself by Jesus' name because that's the emblem or the logo that I'm supposed to run by, but that I'm a disciple of Christ and a Christian because that is who I really am, and that I can serve that way, and I understand that deep down inside my heart. How do I get there? Because serving isn't only about the fun stuff. About the salad for the one you like. Even then, when I can squeak out some serving, sometimes it's just not with a smile. And I become that server that's just like, okay, I don't think you like this job, but I'm not gonna talk about you until after I get my food, right? You don't know that rule. I've seen those behind the scene videos. I was like, ooh. Okay, don't wanna scare you or anything like that. How do I actually get out of this struggle of serving into serving with a smile? A real smile that comes from my heart. How do I get out of this trap that I'm in? How do we do it? Well, if we look at ourselves and take a moment to think about just who and where we are, it's easier to understand this. To know that it's when we operate. And you feel this and you hear this. We're operating first on our own natural fleshly instinct when we are asked to serve. It's first processed through our human nature, our original nature of our flesh. We do just like James and John and Salome did initially when they were thinking, how will this benefit me? Will I like doing this? That's just what James and John did. And Jesus reversed the role and he reversed the position and he reversed the attitude and their mind and their heart place when he said, you no longer should live this way. You should no longer understand the world this way because now it's the kingdom of God upon the earth. And we just sang that Lord, your kingdom should come down. And Jesus even told us, and that's how you should pray, that your kingdom should come down. The ways of the kingdom of God run contrary to the human spirit. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. Once again, the ways of this world run according to the human spirit, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that enables us to go past that roadblock of flesh. Now, before I let you go, I want to give you a couple of points on how to let the Spirit lead us into service. The first thing, because we know, okay, yes, the whole series has been about the Holy Spirit, so obviously it's going to be the Holy Spirit. But how do I do that? Because even then, I've got to understand, how do I get led by the Holy Spirit? Because if it were just an automatic, natural thing, we would all be doing the right things. But it does not come naturally. It's not an automatic thing. How do I allow the Spirit to lead me into service? Number one, first, I have to submit myself to the Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit is not going to grab you like Solomon and say, come on, boys, let's go. The Lord is not going to grab you and say, come on, let me show you how to serve. No, he wants to lead you, not drag you.
That's good.
Okay? The Lord wants to lead you, and he's always going to lead you, not drag you. So we have to learn, you know what? I need to submit myself. I need to relinquish my rights and my plans and my ideas and most of all, my attitudes and what's already residing in my heart. And then the second part to that is to humble myself, to realize that, you know what? Because sometimes what blocks me from serving is like, I'm not going to serve. I'm like, I don't do that. Like, I have this like arrogance, even about being a person of faith. It's like, well, I'm born again, you know, and I'm good. I'm righteous now. And, you know, and I could even look at my own people. I don't know who those are, but you know, my own people and go, yeah, but that's in the past. I got to be able to humble myself and say, you know what? If Jesus was able to humble himself to serve me and serve this world, I am no better. And I need to humble myself and let go. And then a wonderful thing to do to realize that the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives is help us understand how to join ourselves to Christ's work. You see, because when we serve in Jesus' name, we're actually doing Jesus' work. We're actually doing the Lord's work. But sometimes we don't make that connection that we're actually doing God's work. That with everything you do, with a smile and from your heart, with love, we're actually dismantling the things of this world, the things that the enemy has put in place, the things of darkness. We're taking that apart when we serve with love. You know why? Because now the kingdom of God is being demonstrated instead of the ways of the world, where everybody's looking to get in line first, and we say, no, you take the seat. That's taking apart the ways of this world. And people are like, oh. When you actually let somebody into the lane. Let me say that again. When you actually let someone into the lane, you're taking apart the way this world runs. Where it's like, oh, no. Like, you're like basically kissing the bumper in front of you. It's like, you're not getting in here. I'm before you. When you say, or when you get let in, say, thank you. You're taking apart the world's expectation and the world's ways. Know this as we go. Know that when we serve, we roll back the selfish, self-centered ways of this fallen world. We're actually breaking it and taking it apart when we do God's work, when we serve. So what do we need to do? Go and serve with a smile.
Come on.
Yeah. Serve at your church, whether it be here or the place that you call home. Go and serve there and do good and do God's work and go and serve outside the church as well and bring that smile and bring that light and bring that love of God into a place that it's foreign to. And lastly, would you go and be the church?
Yeah.
Amen. God bless you all.